Good morning, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblatt.com, here with my colleague, Tom Deanhart. It is Wednesday. We are posting our second installment of our Purdue Recruiting Rewind. Last week, we did 1997. So naturally, today, we're doing 1998. Really a breakthrough class for Joe Tiller and his staff in year two at Purdue. It was a class that was ranked pretty high. I think at least one pundit at the time, and times were very different then, had it ranked second in the Big Ten. There were a lot of top 25 type national rankings for this massive class. It was, if I recall correctly, 27 players, including I think seven junior college players, a bunch of which came mid-year. This was a class that ended up putting some pieces in place that ultimately helped Purdue get to the Rose Bowl in 2000, and just a really, really important class in kind of the rebirth of Purdue football. Tom has exhaustively spent his time here this week and last week reviewing that class, so I'll kind of throw it to him. Tom, what were some of your, I guess, impressions going back and looking at the class of 98?
Yeah, labor of love. I always get a kick out of looking back and going down memory lane and having, you know, recognizing names I hadn't heard or thought about in years, and that's the case every time I do one of these, Brian. And going back to the old Golden Black archives, of course, you were covering all this back then. You lived it. I was following, of course, closely as a fan, and the cover of Golden Black trumpeted this class as the best for Purdue since the Jack Mollenkopf era. And I think your intro did it justice. This was a big class, 27-man class. I read what you guys wrote back then. Purdue only had 71 scholarship players, and they wanted to get some more experience within the sophomore and junior classes. So they have, I think, what was it, seven JC transfers as well. Of course, as usual, Brian, we talked about last week, Joe Tiller going to Texas to get talent, how that would be a theme for him during his tenure. We see that continued with this 1998 class as well. And Brian, before we got on camera, we talked about the number of running backs in this class. I count five. Talk about some of those guys. And, of course, one of the great talents who was only on campus for a couple of weeks. Some pretty good running backs came to West Lafayette. Some stuck. And, again, some were really productive, too.
Yeah, Purdue on paper signed five running backs in that class. I remember on signing day, Montrell Lowe, or somebody joking about Montrell Lowe, that back in 1998, you could keep your class relatively quiet. And this was right at the start of the Rivals.com era and whatnot, where everybody's commitment list was up on the internet. So Purdue's coaches were kind of telling Montrell Lowe, you're our guy in this class. And he would show them, hey, I found this on the internet. You've got four other running backs committed. So it kind of marked times changing a little bit, but Purdue did sign five running backs. That's kind of cosmetic because one of them, Cornell Middlebrook, was a running back from Detroit who ended up moving to linebacker very quickly. This was a point in time where Purdue's coaching staff was recruiting the best offensive athlete oftentimes as a potential defensive player. Cornell Middlebrook ended up at linebacker and was recruited as such, but they obviously went for running backs hard and heavy in this class too. They brought in Jake Crabtree mid-year as a junior college player. They signed Montrell Lowe, Steve Ennis, Cedric Brown, and Jeremy Thomas out of the high school ranks. Jeremy Thomas didn't make it more than a week or two in the camp before he decided to go home to Florida. I think he went to Bethune-Cookman, if I remember correctly. But that left Montrell Lowe, Steve Ennis, and Cedric Brown all in the program. And all of those guys, through the course of their careers, had pretty prominent roles at Purdue. You remember Steve Ennis was kind of their designated touchdown vulture there for a while, where he was kind of their goal line back, which was the best job in college football, probably. Cedric Brown saw a pretty decent amount of playing time through his career. Montrell Lowe obviously was a starter most of his career. Mm-hmm. A pretty productive class of running backs, and a really important part of the offenses that, you know, by 2000 ultimately led Purdue to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, you know, you talked about Brown. I remember being at the Rose Bowl, and he scored a touchdown, I think, in Pasadena against Washington. A big, big running back, 6'2", 220 pounds.
Yeah.
And, Brian, you know – at least when I look back at the Joe Tiller era, I always sort of lament the inability to get the real stud wide receivers, right? Well, this class had arguably Tiller's biggest wide receiver catch to date in his brief tenure. Of course, I'm talking about A.T. Simpson. from Indianapolis Cathedral. Big, big target, 6'5", 200 pounds, Brian. He was a 3- or 4-star recruit. Again, his career was largely pedestrian in West Lafayette, from what I remember. The junior college wide receivers, Brian, Randall Lane, Cliff Jackson, were both very productive. Randall Lane, Brian, is still, I think, 20th in Purdue history in catches, even though he only played 2 seasons. So, again, wide receiver-wise, it looked like Purdue had a real blue chipper in Simpson. Didn't work out, but, again, Randall Lane in particular, the JC wide receiver who's from Chicago, Brian, was the best catch right at wideout.
Yeah, it was a cultural adjustment, shall we say, for a lot of those junior college guys, a few of them coming from California. A couple of them came from Kansas, if I recall correctly. That was kind of the class that put a face on what coaches would always say about sometimes it takes you a year or two to get the best out of a junior college player because the acclimation to a higher level of football is usually so stark, but also culturally, it was really difficult, I think, for some of those guys to acclimate from big city California or wherever it was they came from to being kind of in the middle of nowhere relative to what they were used to. So that class was kind of hit and miss, but Randall Lane was a really good player, a really productive player. I think he could have been a better player in his time at Purdue than he actually was, but I think he was a big part of their success there in 98. I can't remember necessarily what came thereafter for him. Deshaun Austin, the cornerback, he was a good player too until they lost him to an injury in 98, I think, and then I think he might have run into some academic problems. Jay Crabtree, the running back, was a productive player until he kind of got passed over. Cliff Jackson caught a touchdown at USC, if I recall correctly, to start the 98 season, and I think he ran into some difficulties as well. I'm not sure he made it to the end of his career. It was really tough back then to find, you know, we've heard so much over the years about the Purdue fit and whatnot, and finding junior college guys who qualify as the Purdue fit. I think that was a situation where perhaps that was a little bit elusive. But at wide receiver, Randall Lane was a good player for Purdue, a really good player for Purdue. To A.T. Simpson, you know, Purdue obviously came in with a passing offense. They always wanted to be able to recruit a higher level of wide receiver. He was that breakthrough guy. You know, he was a parade All-American, if I remember correctly, straight out of Central Casting, 6'5", probably wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but a guy who looked like an NFL player coming out of high school. Really, really nice kid, really, really good for recruiting, really, really good for the program. Wasn't necessarily all that productive for whatever reason over the course of his career, but he was that breakthrough recruit at the time. Mm-hmm. And was good for the program in one way or another. So they did get some wide receivers, obviously, in the classes thereafter that really, really were a bigger part of, you know, what Purdue was able to do offensively. So,
you know,
what else we got here?
The offensive line, Brian, got a couple cornerstones for that 2000 unit that was so great during Drew Brees' senior year. Gene Murkowski. And Rob Turner became, again, cornerstones, part of that great line. Brian, we can't talk about this class and not talk about Travis Dorsch, right?
Right.
Maybe the most decorated recruit of them all. This is a kid who's a USA Today All-American. Every award imaginable, you know, Travis Dorsch got it in high school. He comes from Bozeman, Montana, of all places, decides to come to Purdue. Of course, had an interesting career, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. A lot of angst, a lot of big kicks, big punts. But again, talk about Travis Dorsch. I was always fascinated why this guy from Montana chose Purdue University. Of course, remember too, Brian, he was a very good baseball player as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he could have gone damn near anywhere. If I recall correctly, he had Notre Dame wanted him. I think I know Stanford wanted him.
Nebraska, Colorado.
Yeah, the thing with him was that, you know, Purdue staff had ties to Montana, had ties to Wyoming that I'm sure they knew about him. What he wanted to do academically lined up with what Purdue is typically pretty good at, if I recall correctly. And they just got on him early. They needed a kicker. And, you know, he had those offers, but I don't know how many of them were situations where that school needed a kicker right away, or that school would give him the opportunity eventually to kick and punt. And, you know, Scott Downing did a good job at the time recruiting him and getting on him early. And, you know, they were able to get him. And obviously he was arguably the headliner of the class. You know, obviously you don't always think of a kicker as the headliner of the class, but in terms of national distinction or whatever, that's he was a pretty big deal to the offensive line part of it. You know, obviously Gene Murkowski, if I recall correctly, he was committed to West Virginia until real late in the process. Purdue got in on him. Somebody else might have gone somewhere else, so they moved on to Gene Murkowski, and obviously that worked out really well because he was a terrific player for the bulk of his Purdue career. Rob Turner came as a defensive tackle, ended up moving to offensive guard, was a really prominent player on the best offensive line in school history. Yeah. I can't remember if he started or not, or whether he was their first guy off the bench, but either way, he was really important. Pete Lockheed was a really, really big tight end from Fort Wayne who ended up moving to offensive tackle, becoming a player who became good enough as an offensive tackle after the Rose Bowl to get a shot to play in the NFL for a while. Yeah. So this was a really good class from an offensive line perspective. With that being said, there were a bunch of guys in here that, you know, Purdue perhaps, you know, they took early from the state of Indiana. And I remember at the time it was a big deal because this was just at the start of early commitments starting to happen. And Purdue got a couple of really early commitments from Indiana, Joe Webster and
Max Miller was the first one.
Max Miller, and there was another one, Seth Morris, who was like 6'10" or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of those guys really panned out into good productive players, but that was a big deal at the time that, you know, Purdue was getting kids from the state of Indiana to commit really early.
Brian, so. I got to ask you about one other Indiana offensive lineman you haven't mentioned yet in this class from Lewis Cass High School.
Kelly Kitchell. Yep. Kelly was like, I'd have to go back and ask him this, but he was like the original gray shirt. Because I didn't know what a gray shirt was back then, and that's what they did. If I recall correctly, he enrolled early. He came for spring, and he ended up having a 5.5-year career, I believe.
A nice career, really.
I don't know if that was happening anywhere else, you know, back then. I remember asking. I was at the Expo at the time. I was doing a story on Kelly because I was curious as to what exactly this gray shirting black magic was, and. I remember Jim Chaney saying something profane about him in response to me asking a question about what I don't mean that with any sort of ill will. He just said something, let's let him grow some. I'll let your imaginations take over from there before we talk about him. But yeah, I think he was the original gray shirt at Purdue. And
he was more of a basketball player. He was a really good basketball player in high school. Of course, the bloodlines with the Kitchell family.
Yeah.
Kelly's a great guy. Still is such a big part of the program. And Brian, there's about three other areas real quick I want to hear from you on and talk a little bit about. We always have to talk about the quarterbacks in every class. This class, Brian, had three quarterbacks. David Edgerton, of course, a junior college transfer. Mike Seagard is 6'4". Big arm guy from Michigan, and Ralph Turner, quarterback from Dallas, Texas. Of course, Turner became very good in the secondary, but never really saw much from Seagard or from Edgerton.
Yeah, Edgerton was the guy Purdue recruited because they had no idea what Drew Brees would become. And that was exactly Joe Tiller's quote before the Pigskin Classic at USC that year, is we were so confident that Drew Brees was going to be a great player at Purdue that we went out and recruited a junior college player to, you know, to potentially start over him. But he obviously, as a junior college player, came to Purdue at the worst possible time if he wanted to play, because obviously Drew Brees was
just getting started
in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Ralph Turner was what I talked about before regarding Cornell Middlebrook, where they were recruiting offensive athletes with defense in mind. He was a quarterback from Dallas. I can't remember what high
school. Dallas Carter.
Carter, thank you. And so he went to Carter. He was an option athletic type quarterback down there. They recruited him specifically for defensive back. I think they might have given him a year at quarterback to get it out of his system. Then they moved him to safety. He ends up starting alongside Stu Schweigert for a couple years. Was a really good, really productive player for Purdue and an important part of some really good teams. Mike Seagard. really, really big arm, pro style type quarterback. They called him the howitzer because he had such a powerful arm. Never had a chance to apply it. Again, another guy who came in right behind Drew Brees. Just not exactly fortuitous timing on his part. So he ended up transferring out. But obviously Purdue did just find a quarterback.
Two more guys and then we'll wrap up, Brian. I was always fascinated by Doyle Butler, the tight end from Tucson. He was a big recruit, I remember. Didn't work out. Went to a JC, then ends up at USC. And secondly, Brian, last guy, maybe the best of all of these guys, Joe Odom. Speedy linebacker from Bethalto, Illinois, just across the river from St. Louis. And I tell you what, he was a very productive player at Purdue. NFL draft choice, played with Chicago Bears. A darn good linebacker, Brian, on what was a very good group of linebackers Purdue was starting to assemble in that era, too.
Yeah, Purdue obviously was moving toward more speed or speed over size and physicality on defense at that time. Joe Odom kind of fit what they did. When he got to Purdue, he was probably 200 pounds, if that. And he was one of those Dustin Keller stories where he just transforms from a physical perspective over the period of time. He walks in the door probably 6'2", 195 to 200, leaves all of, 6'2", probably 235, 240, and he was one of the fastest guys on the team. I think he was running in like the 4.4, if not sub 4.4 range, just a total freak of nature he became. And they had the best group of linebackers Purdue will probably ever have when he was a senior. Remember, they had Nico Koudavides, Landon Johnson, and Gilbert Gardner, and Joe Odom all in that same team. You couldn't even get them all on the field at once. It was incredible. But Joe Odom was, became a really, really good player. Obviously, a guy who had a chance to play in the NFL. Doyle Butler, to the first part of your question, not so much. He was, from a prestige perspective, from a recruiting profile perspective, he was clearly one of the headliners in this class. Came to Purdue from Arizona, a national recruit. He was drawn to Purdue's offense. I'm sure he was drawn to Purdue for the opportunity potentially to play right away. Things didn't really materialize for him. Ended up transferring out, I believe, after a year, if he even made it that long, I can't remember. But it tells you how talented he was that he leaves Purdue and ends up at USC as a bounce back. I can't remember what he did at USC, but he was a really high level, really high level sort of recruit for Purdue at that time.
Yeah, of course, that's where later we'll talk about Brandon Hantz, the quarterback. Winded up going back to USC as well. Like you said, spoke to the level of talent Purdue was recruiting back then. The guys like that, that once were Purdue players, were good enough to be accepted on the USC roster. So a lot of fun, Brian. I love this. I could talk about these guys probably much longer than you would like to and others want to listen. I'm always fascinated by recruiting and the what-ifs.
Yeah.
Again, this is the second in our installment. Again, as Brian said, Recruiting Rewinds. We're looking at these. Every week, we'll post a story on Wednesday mornings. This is the 1998 class, again, Joe Tiller second. And this time next week, we'll be breaking down the 1999 Joe Tiller recruiting class. Brian, I appreciate it a lot, but any last thoughts from you?
Yeah, let's talk about one last what if. As you just mentioned, we just talked about Doyle Butler at tight end. I'm not sure Doyle Butler was the guy Purdue wanted at tight end. If I recall correctly, this was the class that Purdue wanted Rylan Hangey.
Yeah,
from Indianapolis Cathedral, and they wanted him as a tight end. They thought he was like an NFL caliber tight end, and they didn't lose him to Michigan or Ohio State or Notre Dame or Indiana or whoever it was. They lost him to Butler basketball. He decided to play basketball, went to Butler to do that, had a really good basketball career. And the year after he signed with Butler basketball, he came into Mackey Arena with Butler and won at Purdue. This was right at the front end of Butler basketball becoming what Butler basketball became. And kind of looking back on it now, having watched Rylan Hangey play basketball at Butler, I agree wholeheartedly with Purdue that he could have been an NFL type of tight end because he kind of had it all there. And so I guess we'll leave you with that. So
6'6", Cathedral High School, special talent. And like you said, his senior year, Brian, he was the Horizon League Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Even playing professionally in Europe.
Right.
But again, like you said, maybe he could have made millions being an NFL tight end. We'll never know. But again, it's fun to play that what-if game.
All right. On that note, we're going to we are going to cut out. So this has been our Purdue Recruiting Rewind for the class of 1998. It's been brought to you by our friends at Purdue Employees Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, East End Grill, 6th Street Dive, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week. If this was the class of 1998, what do you think next week is? See you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Shit, did I do the sponsor read at the front?
Yeah, you did.
Did I? Okay.
Sure, good. You did, yeah.
Good. All right. That was so good.
A lot of fun. I'll post this. I'll get your link. I'll look for it tonight or tomorrow morning. I'll embed it and get it posted, get this story posted then in the morning tomorrow, Brian. I appreciate it again, buddy.
Okay, sounds great. All right.
Be good, my